Matthew chapter 18, we'll begin reading at verse 18. Got to ask you tonight, are you glad that you made it here? Talk to me, church. Are you glad that you made it? Hallelujah. I want you to tell yourself something tonight. The devil may have been dragging you along this week, trying to lower you beneath your standards, but I want you to say this to yourself, to the depths of your soul, I'm coming out of this. Somebody needs to say that tonight. I'm coming out of this. Somebody say, I'm coming out of this. Glory to God. The devil thought that he had won, but surely you have found yourself in a good place. You have found yourself in the city on a hill which cannot be hid. You have found yourself tonight in the house of the Lord. No better place to be, no better dinner to eat, no better fellowship to have than the presence of the Almighty God. No better place to give thanks and to give praise. I don't know about you, but I feel like having church in here tonight. I feel like evangelizing to somebody tonight. I feel like telling somebody that's down and out to pick yourself up, that this is not the end, that this is not the end, that your struggle will last only for a season, that you will come through this, that you will come out of this a victor and not a victim. You will come out in victory. You will not go down in defeat. The Lord is surely your deliverer. He is your sovereign. He is your Savior. Man, I feel the Holy Ghost. He is your present help in a time of trouble. He is your every need. He is your every want. He is your happiness. And He is your joy. He is my Lord. He is everything that you ever needed. I've been preaching for 7 years, and the joy keeps on getting sweeter every time that I stand. Why? Because every time I need the Lord comes through. Every time that I've called His name, He has heard my heart's cry. Church, it's time. There's a set of armor laid out for you, and it's time that you put yourself in that armor, and there's a weapon to be used, and it's time that you pick up your weapon. Somebody pick up the word of God with me tonight. Hallelujah. This is your weapon. Somebody hold it up loud and proud. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you anoint this word. I pray that it go forth and touch the hearts of those that are here. God, help us to learn to yield this weapon unto you, that we will put the enemy under our feet and cause the devil to be slain. Not just broken, but slain. Let this word be a weapon. And let the devil know from the highest housetops that he is not taking the souls of God's children. In the name of Jesus, I believe it, Lord. Hallelujah. Surely the presence of God has come for you. Surely it is here to speak to you. But you must be willing to open up your ears and open up your heart and say, God, I'm ready to listen. I'm ready to turn this thing around. You see, I could preach to you for an hour. Chances are none of us like to sit for an hour and listen to anything. So why don't we just skip an hour's time and just receive this one thought into your spirit. If you will listen when the Holy Ghost will speak to you, your life will begin to turn around. It may not look good when you're down in the pig pen and the devil thought he had won the battle, and it may not look glamorous when you've got all the dirt of life caked up on you where you cannot see. It may not look pretty when you're in the fight. Your dress may not look great. Your suit might come untucked. Your hair might come out of place. Your shoe might fall off of you. But my Lord, if we don't learn to start fighting for our lives, we're going to find ourselves without the ability to fight. God did not raise up an army that did not know how to fight. For by the word of God, we have a weapon against Satan. I'm not talking about any far-fetched thing that we can't get a hold of. I'm not preaching any unsound doctrine unto you. The word of God is your weapon. It is your weapon. There are no words you have to say to justify anything to anyone. There is nothing you have to prove to any man or woman on this earth. They may have hurt you, and you feel like you need to defend yourself, but if you try to do it with your weapons, you will surely fail. God has given us an ability to use the gifts and callings of His to be a demonstration as a witness unto the unbeliever. Now, when we want to teach the unbeliever how to fight for their life, we're not going to teach them about the gifts and callings. We've got to learn to teach them to use something that will cut the enemy down to size. I could tell you all the things to do in worship that would make you a great worshiper, but that is not going to cause the devil to tremble when you begin to speak. I could teach you how to look like a preacher, sound like a preacher, and do all the things a preacher is supposed to look like and do. But if you're not using the weapon to fight against the devil, everything that you're doing is just taunting him to come even closer. You've got to learn how to fight. You've got to learn to use the word of God. You must learn to put it down in your heart, even when it hurts. You must learn to use the word of God, even when it disgusts yourself sometimes. Your flesh will be absolutely appalled with the way that God will speak and direct us. He'll cause us to keep our mouth shut when everything that is within us wants to say otherwise. It'll cause our opinions to be of none effect. It'll cause what we think to finally be pushed to the side. I want my words to put the devil on the run in my life. But my frustrations are no weapon to my emotion. My frustrations do not dictate how great God is moving. And I know there's plenty of you tonight that is just, I'm going to say it just bluntly, plumb aggravated at what you're dealing with. You're frustrated and you're wondering, when are you going to catch a break? Somebody even said that in this place tonight. When am I going to catch a break? And the Lord is giving you a nugget of knowledge tonight that you must use the word of God that you have within your grasp as a weapon against the devil. You know how you defend yourself? By the shield of faith. The word is your weapon. Faith is your defense. That's power. Word is your weapon. The faith as your defense. When the devil comes creeping in to talk to you, somebody listen to me tonight. When he comes trying to torment your mind, make you feel less of yourself, try to put you to feeling like you're just this big, hear me. Man, I feel the anointing of God. Hear this under the sound of my voice right now. When the devil is trying to pin you in the corner and make you feel like that you can't do it, you are not going to win by any other means to defend yourself unless you begin to speak words of faith. God is moved by the faith of mankind. He was moved by the faith of mankind in the Old Testament. We read of the miracles that it brought by just finally taking a stand in our heart and declaring to God by faith, though I hurt today, I'm going to reign with Him. Though I suffer today, I'm going to have a crown of life with Him. And though I may go through things now, I will find the joy and rejoice in tribulation. I've been preaching for a while now on trying to find the value and the worth of suffering for the cause of Christ. But the most important thing that you must remember is how to defend yourself. Brother, come up here with me real quick. Come on, hustle, hustle, hustle. If the devil was beginning to beat you up, you would not just stand there and let him have his way. Oh, there is an instinct that is within you to cause your hand to want to go up to defend yourself. God created mankind with the ability to hold up his hands, even if he's not strong enough to win the fight, to be able to defend himself. So I'm telling you, when the devil's trying to come, the word is your weapon, the faith is your shield. As you believe by faith in the things you're standing in the gap for, this is a prophetic word for each and every one of you. There is not one that is not subject to this right now. If you'll learn to use the shield of faith concerning what you're dealing with, you will overcome when the devil tries to attack you. We never get to fighting because we never take the time to get ready to strike. The only time you're able to strike is if you're in a position to counter. To get in a position to counter, you must already be in a position of defense. What is that telling us? The basic principles of fighting is that one who will not defend himself will not win. You hear people preach about it. How many people I got that watch ESPN all the time? How many times that you hear coaches always say, defense wins championships. Defense wins championships. If we don't play defense, we're not going to win. Have the best scores, have the best quarterbacks, have the best athletes that money can buy. But if you're not going to play defense, you're just letting the attack win the game. And if you let the devil continually come in and just have his way without you as much as doing anything at all, I wish that I could get the
Jesus the cross in a way that we would all walk out of here changed. I want you to understand that if we are not learning to defend ourselves, we'll never be in a place to have our words be of effect, where we lay on of hands and declare unto the devil that it is healed, where we lay on of hands of people that are bound and say they are delivered. We're so busy living in affliction that we can't ever know and understand that we have the ability to fight and choose not to use it, because we choose not to defend what is rightfully ours. Your headquarters, your home court, your inner temple is defined and made clean by the salvation through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And by His blood, all the sins that corrupted your temple were made forgiven. All things that you used to be were passed away. Man, I've just got to take a 20 seconds and thank God that all the things that I used to be are no longer define me for who I am. They may talk about my past. They may make fun of who I used to be, but I just laugh along with it, because I know I'm not the same man I once was. I'm not the same Christian that I used to be. I'm not the same man of God that I used to be. Why? Because I learned how to be fancy when I preach or speak? No, because I finally took my faith and used it for what God gave it to me to use. That when the devil started trying to shut down my ministry, that I put up my guard and said, "Oh, you're trying to slay me. God, I'm going to serve you. Devil, you can try to win, but God, I'm going to believe. I've got my shield up. When the fiery darts of the devil come, honey, you better be ready, or there's no sermon that's going to save you. There's no prophecy that's going to save you. You've got to learn to defend yourself with what God has given you to use."
Church, we're vulnerable. We're just one bad word away that somebody will say, "Who's going to be honest with me tonight?" Just one word away. We live in a country where we're offended if we invade each other's personal space. Sensitive to things that, to me, in retrospect to other countries, are not as valuable as having your life. We get upset when our privacy is breached. But let me remind you that you have no privacy setting in your iPhone that blocks the God in heaven from seeing every part of your life. There is no on-off switch to where you can tell God to go away, that He doesn't see everything, every idle word, every action, every act of flesh, if you will. Yet we try to defend our personal space, and we want to defend our privacy, and we want to defend our opinion. But none of those things are a way to defend yourself. You see, the devil can't take what God saved. He can't take the salvation that He put in your heart. But let me tell you what can happen. You can open up the door and let Satan have abode in the deepest depths of your feelings. And you can let him sit right next to your closest vulnerability that you've shared with no one. And the things that nobody has any idea what they're saying or doing, that they would say something and do, all of a sudden will bother you. I'm talking to some people tonight, myself included. We get upset when people get too close. We don't want everybody to know everything. But think about this. When God saved you, He saved you from every sin. He delivered you from every iniquity. He washed away every fault that you had. He took away the scars that people had placed upon you. He healed the wounds that seemed so deep that nobody could cauterize, could stop the bleeding. God's love covered a multitude of our problems. And you can hide from me what you're dealing with, but you're not doing yourself any justice, because you can try to hide all that you want from God, but He still sees your problems.
and he still sees your issues. Do you think that when people are concerned for your business, that it's to attack your privacy? Well, I'm here to try to open up something to you tonight. God wants to see everything because he cares about everything. Tonight, there's not one thing that any of you are going through right now that God doesn't care for and doesn't understand. He knows every trial. Oh, he knew it before you ever thought it. Oh, he's concerned about your life. But we've got to learn to use our shield of faith. Brother, we're never going to overcome the things the devil brings on us until we finally take a stand for who we know that we are. I want to remind you not of who you can be. I want to tell you who you are. You're a sinner that was saved by God's grace. You were corrupt and made incorruptible. You were tarnished and spotted, but was washed as white as snow. All of your sins were washed away and cast into the sea of forgetfulness. Think about who you are right now. Every fault that once condemned you no longer has a hold on who you are today. Your past has no hold on you. Despite what the devil will use against you, your past, somebody say that my past doesn't hold me. Somebody say that my past doesn't hold me. The things that you used to do, the things you used to be, and the person you once was is no longer. For by Jesus Christ and his love and sacrifice, we now have a way of escape, a refuge, a present help in a time of trouble. Help me tonight, church. Somebody thank him for who we are. We're blood bought. We are the children of a living God. We are saved. We are made new. We are delivered. We are baptized, not by water alone, but by the presence of the Holy Ghost. That Holy Ghost is what will quicken you. The Holy Ghost is your instinct to lift up your hand when somebody comes swinging. The presence of God is your instinct to cause yourself to rise up when you feel the devil taking over a church service. It is your instinct to be quickened to take somebody by the hand and pray for them when everybody else is backing away from the challenge. It is your instinct to run to the altar when you feel conviction. It is what leads you. The Holy Ghost is your leader. It is your guide. It is the instinct of your spirit. The instinct of this body is the nervous system and the brain. When you sense and see that somebody is coming towards you, your nervous system kicks in and says, you better get your hand up or you're going to have a broke jaw. I don't know if anybody's ever gotten in a fight and scrapped before. I don't know about you, but you know when somebody's ready to throw the first punch, the first thing that you do is get ready and get in position to start fighting for your life. There's some of us tonight that have just been beat up so bad by the devil that we just don't have the willpower just to even thank God, just to even get a hand up in the air. Our hands are weakened and our legs are weakened and we feel the life just draining out of our spirit and we feel that our minds are just, we're sitting here but our minds are somewhere else. And our hearts are broken, yet we smile. And our hearts are troubled, yet we'll pretend. But I'm telling you, there is no place that you could take your mind that God doesn't care enough to go there with you and to bring you back to a place where you can fight again.
You can find another church to go to. And when you're in a troubled state, it won't satisfy you. And people mistake trouble for an absence of God. But don't be deceived. Just because you're going through something hard doesn't mean that God's not there. If anything, the Holy Ghost, it says it in his word, will quicken your mortal bodies. It will literally quicken the spirit within you
to not ever be in a position where you're going to get blindsided by something you cannot see. Are you saying we can predict all the trials that are ever going to happen in my life? No. What I'm telling you is that when things begin to come that are unforeseen to your eyes, that God has an instinct created within you. If you believe by faith that it will not overtake you, it will not destroy you, and it will not leave you without an ability to get in position once again to fight for your life. Let's read a little bit. Verse 18 in the 18th chapter of Matthew. Verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together, say together, in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Let's stop right there. Now, you as an individual can go to church and have the ability to have church even when everybody else wants to sit back and be idle. God created this design to where we would never be withheld from Him. Each and every person, He doesn't withhold anything. He doesn't have a respect of person. That means every person that ever comes to the house of God, if they seek for a blessing, they're going to find a blessing. If they go after God, they're going to reach God. There is no human being, there is no height, nor depth, no principality, no powers of the air that can hinder you as an individual from getting into the presence of God. Now, what does the Word of God say? It says that we have the ability as an individual to bind the things that are on earth and to loose the things out of heaven. We have the ability to fight for the things that God has given us to use. Amen. But what about the word together? I can come in and have church for me. Sure. I can come in and have a good time and have fun. Yes. But when two or three of us will come together and agree upon a common purpose, then God will be in the midst of us. There's something about togetherness. We went through our family Thanksgiving. We ate dinner together. We laughed together. We looked at how old all of us are getting. Laughed at our age. We look at all the young children that are growing up before us, making us feel even older. We laugh of the good times. We recollect things that bring a common purpose. That love, that family, that unit brings togetherness. That's family. How many of you live in a family where there's no togetherness? How many of you have siblings that seemingly don't want to love each other like we should? How many of you know people that are just unwilling to make it work? When you have a dysfunctional situation like that, it's hard to come across and enjoy even a family dinner. A get-together, try planning something with somebody that has a problem with you and see how well that it works out for you. I know I'm not the only one that's ever went through this kind of thing before. And our family has grown up and big enough to admit that there's been times we all didn't agree on the same plan. That the time didn't work for one, didn't work for the other, so we just had to make do. People have problems with one another. That is typical of life. But there is times when you will finally get past all the things that keep you from being a real family, that you see the value of what family even is. It's unity. It's togetherness. When you have someone that loves you and you have somebody that cares for you, there is a level of comfort that you begin to have. For a child knows that if its mother is living and that mother loves that child, they're able to go unto that mother and say, I need help and I need you to help me. That is the greatest benefit of togetherness. That is what family is defined as. It is our help and our strength when we are in the lowest estate of our life. There has been times when I have called upon my mother, I just wanted her to listen to me. There's been times when I called on my father and I wanted him just to understand. There's been times I didn't need any money. I just wanted to feel close to somebody. Do you understand where I'm coming from? There's something about having togetherness that causes a power to come alive. There's something about unity inside of a church that will cause the presence of God to be in magnificent and apparel that will come down and be as a smoke in the midst of where you dwell. There's something about if we can get past the differences of all the things that are hindering us, that we're able to feel that togetherness with somebody else, that you would feel that trust to say to somebody, I believe that if I went for Brother Tim, that he would be there for me. And I feel like that if I reached out to Ralston, that he's my family, that he'd be there for me. There's something about being under the same bloodline that causes us to have a trust for one another. And where we lack sometimes is that when one is weak, somebody's supposed to be holding up a shield, but we're so selfish in our living and our lives that we don't fight for each other that the way that we should. Rather, we judge each other for the things that we fail in, not fighting for the right cause, not defending our brethren, rather judging the situation unto our understanding. Be careful to which what you judge, for if you will judge, you will be judged. You open up your mouth and give your opinion, you better be expecting a sharper one to come back to you about you. Because people do not like to hear what they come short in the flesh. You'll never find anybody on heaven and earth. I don't care how much that you love people. I don't care how much you have kindness and patience. If somebody gave you a sharp opinion, you'd crumble just like the rest of us. You'd fall short and you wouldn't be able to defend the person that offended you. But rather you would want to bring offense upon them. There is no unity when we bring judgment into the house of God. And when we can't worship together, you may not see it like I do, but if we can't worship together, then we're looking on each other with the wrong eyes, and we're looking at each other with the wrong spirit. And God raised us up to forgive each other just like he forgave us, that we would be able to be a unit, to be a family. How many of you believe we're under the same bloodline tonight? I believe that. When I was saved, and somebody give me an amen if you know this to be true. When I was saved, I didn't see a stranger at church like I used to. I saw them as my spiritual mothers, spiritual fathers, spiritual grannies, grandpas, spiritual neighbors, friends, sisters, and brothers. My eyes were opened, and I then began to see what had that God had set before me as a level of trust. If we're going to make it through this together, we have to learn to be there for each other. I'm not telling you anything strange or foreign. It will cost you your time. It will cost you your money. It will cost you your driving up and down the road. They may even say they're here and you go here, they're not there. They're actually there. You go there, they're not there. Then you try to find them somewhere else, they're not there either. You may go somewhere to eat with one of them and they need to talk, cause more trouble than they had. There's going to be all kinds of moments that present themselves. There will be challenges that keep us from coming together. That's what I'm getting at. Every service is a challenge to see who will be willing to stand as the pillars of the spiritual, that will be willing to bind together as strong as the components that make the very substance of a pillar. That which you have inside you that defines who you are, makes you as strong as you are, that when you bind with someone else, you get stronger. Yes, you do. So you might not think that you're adding too much to a service, but I want to remind you that the substance of what you have and the substance of what the person has next to you alone isn't as strong. It's enough to hold yourself, but when you want to talk about starting to have a church that has people show up and want to show up, you're going to find some people that are willing to stand up for people. When you talk about having a family that knows that they can trust each other, we're talking about having some spiritual mamas that go after the devil and say, not my baby. You're going to have some spiritual fathers that sees the house getting in disorder by the devil and goes and takes his stand as a priest of the home and says, not today. I'm just learning that I'm a priest of my house. I'm just beginning to understand what that role even means. You have to learn who you are in God. You have to learn who you are in God. And you have to know that what is inside you that is quickened by the Holy Ghost, when you will be willing to worship with others and help them in their time of need, you both become stronger.